Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's 9:09 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for tuning in today on this Thursday, the 29th day of August. I hope the music puts you in a good mood. Now, we have a guy on the show today. His name is Max Christensen. Max, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Andy.
I'm playing this theme song. And now, you're young. You're 26?
Yes.
Do you know Andy Griffin's show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, this is my father would have me watch this show when I was growing up. So the old black and white, the sheriff over there in the small town.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love the Andy Griffin show. Sheriff Andy Taylor and Barney Fife and Anna B and Opie and all those people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This music tends to put people in a good mood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just can't help but smile.
It's a great theme song, 100%.
And, to me, two of the greatest TV dads ever were Andy Griffith and Andy Taylor, I guess his name was on the show, and Heathcliff Huxtable.
Yes.
Fantastic show. Sadly, Andy Griffith managed to pass away without any controversy, scandal, but Bill Cosby not so much.
Yeah, kind of the opposite of that one, right?
Yeah. So it's really hard because, so I grew up with Bill Cosby. He had an early TV show in the 70s, and then he had a great stand-up career. I had like every Bill Cosby. They actually used to sell them in albums, and I would sit and listen to Bill Cosby, listen to the record of Bill Cosby doing a stand-up routine, and he was so funny.
Oh, yeah.
And he did such a good job of capturing, real life, but with a funny spin to it all.
Yes.
And then, of course, the Cosby Show came along in the 80s, and that was just, I felt like Heathcliff was my dad at the time, and I felt like, Theo was my brother, and, I don't know about Denise, she was a little weird, but, the other one, but and then to have the scandal, of course, with Bill Cosby late in his career, that was hard.
Tough.
Yeah, so... he is actually out of prison. He's still alive. He's out of prison. The charges were reversed because of some technicalities, but I don't think there's anybody that thinks that he's 100%, clean.
No question.
That's too bad. So, those of you that don't know Max Christensen, let's get a little introduction. Max is a former football player for Utah Tech and Dixie before that, right? They hadn't changed yet when you started.
I was part of the last ever team at Dixie State and the first ever team at Utah Tech. So
nice. And tell me about your college experience at Utah Tech, at Dixie College. And just, it was so I did Dixie games for years, but they were junior college and then D2. And things changed over the years. But what was your experience like?
Yeah, it was good. It was a growing experience, of course, mm-hmm. right? Because I was part of the first ever, my first season down here was the first ever season Division I, right? And so we played a really, really good, really tough.
And you're from where now?
So I'm originally from Houston, grew up in Logan, Utah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I moved to technically Smithfield. Nobody knows where Smithfield is, so I say
just
Logan. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Man. Skyview all day. I moved to Smithfield when I was 9 years old, so that's where I grew up, went to high school, did all that kind of stuff. Played a couple years at Snow College, and then played three more years down here. Mm-hmm. So, it was definitely a growing and learning experience for everybody. Like I said, I was part of the first ever Division I team down here. That was my first season, and, tough, learning, growing. We come into that second season and started off the season pretty rough, but then end up beating the team that won our conference. We snapped a 13-game home win streak on their homecoming down there in Nacogdoches, Texas, when we played Stephen F. Austin. And then, we go up and play big old BYU our last game of the season, and we're up 6-0 at the end of the first quarter.
I was there.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and the funniest part is my little brother was on that BYU team. Yeah. And I remember talking to him after. I was like, what was halftime like for you guys? I think we were only down by a touchdown, and they said everybody was freaking out because they're like, man, if we lose Utah Tech, it's over for us, right?
So, it's kind of a no-win situation for, kind of like Utah has tonight. Playing SUU, and you know what? If they beat SUU by a bunch, everybody's like, well, they were supposed to do that. If they beat them, but it's kind of close, like you guys with BYU, everybody's like, okay, either that team's better than we thought or that team's worse than we thought. And then if they, heaven forbid, lose to SUU or BYU would have lost to Utah Tech, everybody like, oh, boy, panic button time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so, absolutely.
So you played on the field there at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, huh?
Yeah. And
that was
pretty
cool.
Oh, yeah. Really fun. Really great experience. I mean, that was probably the coolest stadium we played in my time at Utah Tech. And, you know, this season, those guys get to go down to Las Vegas and play UNLV in Allegiant Stadium, right? Where the Raiders play. So,
cool.
So that'll be a really cool experience for those guys as well. But, just being able to play in that kind of environment. You know, BYU always has great fans. It's always, I mean, the stadium's always full no matter who they're playing. And so just that kind of environment, that kind of game is really awesome.
Okay, I got to ask you now. We're talking allegiances here. I'm very unique. I actually went 2 years at BYU, year and a half at BYU, and then we transferred up and I graduated from Utah State, your hometown.
Yes.
And I do love the Aggies, but I also love BYU.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people in Logan that absolutely 100% cannot stand BYU. I mean, I was amongst BYU haters. In fact, when they found out I transferred from BYU, the allegiance, it was almost transferred on, I hate you because you went to BYU, that kind of thing. So growing up in Cache Valley, you kind of a BYU hater a little bit?
I have no love for Utah State.
Really?
None.
Really?
None whatsoever.
But that's the hometown college.
That is the hometown college. And a lot of it has to go with my recruiting experience coming out of high school and things like that. Yeah. I had multiple offers inside of the Mountain West Conference to go play but Utah State wouldn't offer me. It's like, I'm either going to play with you guys or against you. You guys get a pick.
Yeah, I'm just down the road here.
Yeah, please. I had offers from Nevada, Wyoming, and Air Force and Boise State, but Utah State was like, because you're a local kid, you should have enough pride to come and want to walk on. And I'm like,
I'm like,
wow, that's crazy. So my grandpa actually played football at BYU. Okay. And so I grew up a big BYU football fan.
What's his name?
Paul Caldwell.
Paul Caldwell. What's
yeah. So he played way back in the day and then ended up having my little brother play there at BYU as well. I don't wake up on Saturdays and cheer for BYU, but if you ask who am I going to cheer for if BYU and Utah State play each other, I'm going to cheer for BYU to win by 100.
Interesting.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So I don't have an allegiance across the state. Like I don't cheer specifically for BYU, Utah, or Utah State, but it's cool to see how well Utah is playing and the kind of brand of football that they do play. And then I do like to see BYU be successful every once in a while. My little brother's not playing there anymore, cause he finished up as well, but so I don't cheer for them as hard as I did in the past.
Right.
But yeah, I don't cheer at all for Utah State.
What position did your brother play?
He played corner.
Okay, so you weren't actually facing each other on the field at the same time.
Yeah, which is actually really nice because we talked about it because we were able to secretly cheer for each other while we were on the field because I didn't have to tackle him or he didn't have to try and run past me. So
one of the things that I did this 2-3 years ago. I talked about NIL and what it was going to do to college sports and you and I were both college athletes somewhat.
Yeah.
You more than me, but. You know, back when we played, it was you played football because you loved to play. You played football because you could get your college paid for. And I mean, I was realistic. I think probably you were too, knowing that only like 1% of college, you know, D1 college players actually play in the NFL. So the odds of me actually doing this for a living weren't great. So I was, and I hope you were, I was very serious about my schooling and making sure
yes.
that was important. But things changed, man. I mean, there are guys now, right now, in college football who make more money than some of their counterparts who are professional football players in the NFL. It's crazy. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks for Alabama, University of Texas, those guys are pulling in $1 million or more, or three, or five.
Yes.
But do you think it, I mean, I felt like it was going to ruin college football. Do you think it's going to ruin college football?
I mean, you know, and even to make your point even greater, you have a lot of guys who are making, they're going to make more money in college than they ever will make in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hasn't made college football worse. Not necessarily, but now, I mean, it depends on how traditionalist you are, right? Because you look at, teams are now going to go out and buy rosters, and they're going to buy players, and they're going to buy wins, and they're going to buy national championships, right? I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did, Phil Knight, right? The founder and CEO of Nike. Yeah. And Oregon, University of Oregon's the flagship school for Nike, of course, right? He came out and said, I actually like the fact that he did this because everybody, you know, is a part of this new NIL age and spending money. And if you're a donor or a booster, you're trying to put the best product on the field for your school.
Sure.
And in, during this summer, must have been just in July, he came out and said, listen, I think he's in his late 70s, and he said, listen, University of Oregon, I want to see my football team win a national championship before I die. Mm. Okay? So, because of that, you guys get unlimited access to Nike's NIL fund.
Wow.
Unlimited access.
Wow.
Was the words that he said. And so he's basically saying, go get every single guy you possibly can and win us a national championship, and I will pay for it.
Wow.
Okay, I'll pay everybody. This season, you know, the big talk just a couple days ago was Ohio State's roster, right? They have the top NIL roster in the country right now. The rumor is that they spent on their total roster $20 million is the payroll that they're under for this coming season. Okay. Wow. And so the good teams are still going to be good. The mediocre teams are still going to be mediocre, and the bad teams are still going to be bad. The only difference is it's going to be more of, getting guys aren't coming there to play for the fight song and the fan base and the tradition and the rivalry. Kids aren't doing that anymore. They're going there because they're getting paid the most money.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So you're not. So the one downside is kids are not playing for pride any longer. Okay. The rivalry games are going to be watered down, this and that and the other. And the problem is too, is you're going to see guys in college wear, two, three, four different uniforms.
Yeah. And that's the other thing I was going to say, along with NIL, right about the same time, the transfer portal became very, very popular. They changed the rule. I think they actually, the courts forced the NCAA to change a rule. It used to be if you transferred schools, you had to sit out a year. And that yes. actually acted as a really good deterrent for a lot of kids because they're like, I don't want to, and they would actually burn that year of eligibility. I mean, it was tough if they didn't have a redshirt year. And they rule now you don't have to sit out any longer. And that means that a guy, say you have a quarterback. I remember, do you remember hearing Anthony Calvillo, great quarterback for Utah State? Now the all-time leading passer in Canadian Football League history.
Okay.
By the way, I loved him. He was there when I was there. Fantastic junior year. He came out of junior college and had a fantastic junior year, passed for, a kajillion yards, whatever. If Anthony Calvillo was at Utah State now and had a great junior year, do you think he'd really come back and play a senior year?
Absolutely not.
No. He'd go every big school, Texas, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, they would be calling Anthony and saying, hey, you know what? You know, you Utah State, you probably got some free candy bars and somewhere to stay. Here, we can write you a check for $2 million to come play for us. And what kind of kid who's 21 years old and single or maybe newly married wouldn't go for $2 million, right?
No, yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
No, I would.
Yes. Everybody has their price, right? I mean, let me make this very clear too. As someone who very recently got done playing college football, I took advantage of NIL. Like I was doing a bunch of NIL stuff as well. So I am really happy that college athletes are getting paid. It was, the way that the NCAA kind of went about it, they opened Pandora's box when they said, hey, we're not going to pay you guys for play. Because you can't get paid to play, right? You can't be out there, hey, we're going to pay you, $600 a tackle, $1,000 a sack, right? And also, the actual school is not going to pay us. Like, it's like, hey, Max, Utah Tech's not going to pay you, but you can go out and do whatever you want on the outside of that, right? So they kind of opened Pandora's box. It became the Wild West. You can't close that now. So I think that's more on the NCAA than it is on the players. Really happy to see the players getting their money. Guys are getting paid. A lot of good stuff's happening that way. But yeah, it is kind of a very crazy and tumultuous time, in college football. If you are a traditionalist and look at it from that kind of aspect, because, I mean, Phil Knight came out and admitted, hey, I'm going to buy us a national championship before I die.
Now, one thing I guess you can take heart in a little bit is you look at baseball's model right now. The New York Yankees payroll, with the exception of the Dodgers, is more than double the next closest team.
Yeah.
I mean, they spend $200 million plus a year, every year, to have the best, quote-unquote, the best players in baseball. And yet, when's the last time the Yankees won a championship?
Yeah.
It's been a while, folks. Yes. So they do have the most in history, but it's been quite a while. So just because you buy what you think are the best players doesn't mean you're for sure going to win it.
Yes, so, absolutely.
So take heart in that, those of you that are fans of college sports. It may alter this. The thing I'm scared about is schools like Utah State, UNLV, Air Force. Well, maybe not Air Force because they're an academy. That's a whole different. But there's going to be schools that are going to have to eat some dust, unfortunately. And when they have a good player, the player's going to leave. They don't when they can't get the high end players because high end players can make $2, $3, $4, or $5 million somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be tough for schools like that. Maybe even BYU, although I think they have a whole different model at BYU. So it's interesting. All right, This is not a sports talk show. I apologize for those of you who are going, hey, all they're talking about is sports. So let's talk about some other things. One of the projects you have going right now, and this is really cool, and I got to go over yesterday. Tell me about the Signature Pickleball Club.
Yes, yeah, Signature Pickle Club out on Washington.
Pickle, I said ball.
Yeah,
pickle,
no, you're
Signature
good.
Signature Pickle Club.
Yeah, yep. Signature Pickle Club getting built right now out on Washington Dam Road. It's going to be a high-end pickleball facility, right?
And what does that mean?
So we're gonna it's a big cinder block building right off Washington Dam Road. We're gonna have four premium courts in there, along with just a high end lounging party event experience.
Cool,
right? Yeah. I mean, there's gonna be a couple different levels of seating. There's gonna be party rooms. There's gonna be you can walk in and play if you reserve a place online. You can buy a membership to come in, to kind of like a higher end pickler, buy a membership and come in and play that way as well. We have really high ceilings, which I know is important. Yes. Yes. In the game of pickleball as someone who's big in the game, I've only played outside. I've never even played inside. Right.
Yeah.
And so this will be my first experience playing inside. But I remember having a conversation with you where you were like, hey, having high ceilings is necessary for a lot of pickleball players, like, because the lob game.
Yeah.
Is so important.
If
right?
you have a 12 foot, I don't know what pickler is, 12 or 14 feet, whatever it is, it basically removes the lob game. And to me, the lob game is a big part of pickleball. If you got two people up on the net ready to smash it in your face and you want to pull them off of the net, you hit it. If you're good at this. Now, lobs are not easy, especially in the wind.
Yes.
Now, the Signature Club won't have to worry about that. but if you can pull them off the net. One of my favorite plays is to hit a really nice lob back in the corner. One of them's going to go back and chase it. While they're chasing it, I'm coming up to the net so that they might be able to get that lob back, but I'm ready. I'm right there waiting for them to hit
yes.
it to me.
So. Yes, absolutely. And on all four courts, we're going to have netting all around. So, let me back up. You're going to have four big kind of garage doors that can open up for ventilation, for natural light, for a lot of different things that's going to be really, really good and cool for the facility. You're going to have netting all around each court, so you'll never lose a ball. It'll never bounce outside when the doors are open. There's a lot of good things like that. We're going to have an in-house chef that's going to cater food if you decide to do an event there. If you decide to do a corporate event, you can rent out the entire facility for you and your corporation to come out and play pickleball for a couple hours, enjoy some great food. There's going to be conference rooms. If you want to do team building stuff, we're going to have some big TVs. You can do team building, team bonding. We're going to have a bunch of pickleball, pros over at our facility who are open to teaching and doing lessons and things like that. And a really cool thing we're going to be doing over there as well is, of course, we're going to have cameras all around the facility, but we're also going to have teaching rooms that are attached to those cameras where the pros will get the chance to film whoever they're working with on these cameras in our facility. And then you guys can step into one of these rooms and go back and review the film. Okay, of kind of what you guys have been practicing and things like that. Again, you and I are big sports guys, right? So being able to not only play the game, but go back and watch the film of how you can improve, look at some technique, look at different things, that can be huge too. So really what we want to do is just innovate the pickleball game down here in Southern Utah because it's so big, because St. George is a hub and somewhat of a capital for pickleball across the United States. I mean, that was evident with the PPA tournament coming to play, in April, the end of April over at Little Valley. And that's another thing that we're going to do as well, is we're going to host tournaments and do that kind of stuff. But we want to provide a very high-end pickleball, family-friendly environment and experience for people all around all of Washington County, and especially out in the Washington area, because it's going to be on Washington Dam Road.
I think, you know, I think maybe someone would go, well, gosh, that sounds expensive. Actually, no, it's not going to be very expensive at all. In fact, I'm going to throw this out. I think it's going to be cheaper than the Pickler. So
there you go.
Memberships and renting courts and things like that. So, folks, this is going to be so cool. Max actually came in last week. Was it last week you came in?
Yeah.
Or 2 weeks ago? Came in and started telling me about the project. And then yesterday I got to meet with Matt, and he laid it all out for me. And I'm just super excited. I think it's something that is really going to be big here. I compare it to, you got the golf place down on Exeter.
Yeah, Big Shots. Yep.
I compare it to that. It's going to be that kind of experience where anybody can go, anybody can play, there's going to be food. It's going to be not just a place that's stinky and sweaty and is you play sports in. It's a place that is this cool location for everybody to go and hang out. And pickleball is such a public-friendly game.
Yes.
It takes literally a minute to learn how to play. If you've played any kind of paddle sports ever, from ping pong, racquetball, tennis, whatever it is, you can learn pickleball in a few seconds.
Yeah, and one of the cool things I forgot to mention as well, again, we want to make this a very family-friendly environment. We're also going to provide what we're going to call after-hours play. So from 10,
oh, yeah,
from,
that's right.
from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., okay, it's going to be open to high school kids to come over and play. All right. So if you don't want your high school kid out and about getting in trouble in sunny St. George, send them over to Signature Pickle Club. Okay. Have them come play some pickleball. We're going to play around with,
tell them about the special deal. The glow in the dark.
Yeah.
That is like crazy.
Yes. So we're going to play around with some black light stuff. We'll have, you know, light up, you know, shirts, hats, paddles and balls,
nets, the whole thing,
nets, yeah, every kill all the lights, and then do black light pickleball for the high school kids. Okay, from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. So we give high school kids a place to kind of stay out of trouble as well. Once the sun sets here in sunny St. George. And so again, a lot of really good things happening over there on Washington Dam Road for the Signature Pickle Club. We're really excited to get that off the ground and start. We're hoping within the next month and a half for that facility to be open and up and ready to go. Yeah. And we're already going to start scheduling events and people to come in and start enjoying this amazing facility.
Now, that's the one thing everybody's like, oh, well, it sounds like about, what is that, 6 months down the road, a year from now? No, actually, Matt is very aggressive, and Matt has resources and access to get this thing up and running quickly. And like you said, 5-6 weeks from now, Signature Pickle Club will be open.
Yes.
And it'll be going. And he talked about probably a little soft opening at first as they finish everything.
Yep.
But then there will be a grand opening, I assume, sometime probably in the late fall with everything being wide open. But this is happening, and it's happening quickly. I love it.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, we are very, very excited for it. And again, just the opportunity to go full steam ahead and join the great pickleball community that lies down here in St. George. I know you're a big part of that, so it's great to have you on board with us.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, I got to get a commercial break in and check on weather as well. When we come back, we want to talk about a couple of things. In case you haven't figured it out, Max is a black man, and a black man living in St. George is a little unusual. Max, how many black people are in St. George? Would you guess?
I mean, I've been told I've been told 1,000.
1,000,
yeah,
really?
which I've yet to see.
I was going to say they're hiding then. Yeah, I haven't seen that many, but. So it's a unique experience. Also, Max is a very, very conservative politically, and that goes against the trend of a lot of, you know, African American people. A lot of black people are like, yeah, no, I can't ever vote for a Republican. But Max says, well, actually, we got to think about some of these things. Also, wanted to get your take on what happened at Pineview last Friday night. And whether or not it is this a media created controversy? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Nice 9:37 on KDXU. One of the things I like about you, Max, and by the way, Max Christensen is our guest today, is you are not a woke guy. You are not a get my feelings hurt kind of a guy.
Yeah.
I've said things in the past and people go, oh, you can't say that. You're going to offend somebody. Oh, you can't say that. You know, and you know, I grew up around athletics. I grew up around white people, black people, Polynesians. Usually there was some dude with a weird long name that was the kicker, you know, from some other country, whatever. But I never looked at race wasn't a thing for me. You know, yeah. My buddies were black. My buddies were, you know, Mexican. My buddies were, it didn't, I don't know. I guess I was a stupid kid because it was never a factor for me.
Yeah.
I grew up in Texas. The school that I went to was about 40%. Mexican, 40% black, and about 20% white people.
Yeah.
And so to me, I never saw the race line, Max. I didn't. I mean, I look at you today as Max Christensen. I don't look at you as Max the black guy.
Yeah.
To me, it's not a thing, but somehow in our society, Max, it's become a thing.
Yes.
And it's funny because you're a black man, you don't get offended, but there's probably 47 white women who are offended for you when I say what I'm saying right now. You know what I mean? Like, what happened here?
I mean, yeah, man. It's been a crazy transition that our society has taken, especially in the last couple of years. I mean, truly since 2020, the paradigm shift that's taken place has been, you know, astronomical to the point where white people have to walk around on eggshells.
Yeah,
pretty much. And no matter unless you get very offended, no matter what you say or do is wrong.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can't be sensitive enough in today's world because we live in such a hypersensitive society. Okay. 2020 happened, the BLM movement, which I thought was crap, and all these other things took place that, you know, it was supposed to bring us together, and it was supposed to educate, and all it did was just divide everybody.
It did.
Right? I mean, it was one of the most divisive movements I've ever seen, and you know, I know I'm only 26, right? But but yeah, like in my lifetime, I'm like this. It is, you know, a lot of minorities complain, and we say this, and that, and the other. Let me tell you what, it has never been, I'm sitting here as a black man today. Okay, it has never been a better time to be a black man in the United States of America than right now.
True.
All right.
I agree.
I mean, and so, you know, we talk, man, we have so far to go as a country. We have this. How about we look how far we've come? Look at how far we've come and how far we've progressed. There is no place on the planet that is perfect. Okay. Right. I hear so many people and especially minorities complain about this country and this nation. My immediate response is, cool, go live somewhere else. And go step out, go live on somewhere else for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to want to come right back. Okay, I had the opportunity to go live down in Argentina for a couple years, and I came home never more grateful to live in the United States of America after spending time in a South American country. It was, you know, the food was fantastic.
Yeah,
let me tell you what I mean some of the best food I've ever had in my life, but that is not an environment I would want to live in on a daily basis for the rest of my life, right? Compared to the perks and the advantages and just the environment that's here in the United States, like, I mean, we do not have as much to complain about as a lot of people want to put across the table.
Do you see roadblocks as a black man in your current career? Now, you graduated college last year.
Yeah.
You're a marketing guy now. Have you seen roadblocks? Have people said, oh, well, he's black, I don't want to deal with him? Has that happened?
You know, it has not happened in my professional life. I will say this: there was 6 or 7 times in high school that I was somewhat taken aback, somewhat blown away because, you know, I had 6 or 7 different girls throughout my high school time say, you know, I'd ask them out on a date, and they would say, hey Max, like my parents love you, but they told me I can't date a black guy.
Really?
Okay. And you know, I didn't graduate high school in 1916. I graduated high school in 2016, right? Yeah. And it was the most interesting thing because like these are girls who like their parents would be in the stands on a Friday night chanting my name. And then on Saturday turn around and tell them I can't go on a date with their daughter simply because I'm black. Okay. So I have seen roadblocks in the dating world with that. And again, I'm not sitting here saying either like, oh yeah, every time a girl, like I'm not the guy, cause I know a lot of guys too who every time they get rejected by a white girl, the immediate response is, oh, they're racist.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because I'm black. No. Like, sometimes we're just not compatible. I definitely understand that. So this is not here, me sitting here saying, the reason that it's never worked out with a girl to this point is because they're all racist and white people suck and things like that. No. It's just been crazy when people give me that response to my face. And that has not happened since high school. Okay. But when it comes to getting opportunities, Andy, let me tell you what, I have never been more, the reason I'm still in Southern Utah, I have not been more blessed than I have in this community when it comes to getting the amazing opportunities I've gotten, whether that is in sports broadcasting, in marketing, in NIL stuff, and doing whatever. I mean, this Southern Utah community has opened their arms to me, more than any other place I've ever been to and experienced. So I'm really blessed and grateful to live down here and be a part of this community, because it is insane the amount of love and camaraderie and care that I get from the community down here. Again, a predominantly white community being in Utah, and especially, it's funny too, because of course it is in an older community compared to the rest of Utah as well, because of all the retirees. A lot of people look at, a lot of young black guys look at old white people. You guys are the most racist people on the planet, right? You guys, because of the generation you grew up in and you're bigots and this and this. These people down here are amazing. Okay. And again, have truly opened their arms and embraced me and the community. And so I absolutely couldn't be more grateful. So when it comes to roadblocks and opportunities, that I've had in life, have not experienced that. If anything, it has been my opportunities have been more extensive. Again, being black, never been a better time to do that in the United States than right now. So no, never been limited on opportunities or seen roadblocks because of my skin color.
Maybe the most famous Utahan ever as a black man was Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Karl Malone had a similar attitude of you as you. He's like, you know what? I have a lot of opportunities that nobody's, I mean, the people have been nice. I love it here. And at some point, a lot of the black community, and I mean, that's an all-inclusive word, whatever, but they said, well, you're an Uncle Tom then. You're not yes. a real black man. So, well, how do we, Max, embrace who we were and what has happened in this country over the last, well, since the country was founded, but certainly in the 50s and 60s is when it all kind of came to a head. How do we embrace all that without having it jade us and affect us and make us bitter?
Yeah, definitely don't hide it, right? I mean, continue to teach and educate and do those things, but also we don't have to live there either. Okay, we're in 2024. I don't need to live in 1965. All right, that's the biggest thing, is being able to recognize where we were, what happened, and see how far we've come. I tell everybody, I'm like, listen, I don't know about, about the other black people that I'm around, but I was never in shackles. I was never in chains.
Right.
I never marched with Martin Luther King Jr. during the civil rights movement. Okay. I have been so blessed to grow, I was born in 97. I'm so blessed to grow up in this age. And again, even in 2024, do we have, improvements and steps need to be taken to get further down the road when it comes to different things with race? Absolutely. Okay. But the people who act like we're still in the 1960s, that black people are still getting treated, that segregation is still a massive issue, and that white people are just as bad and no one's changed since the 60s, is absolutely unequivocally wrong and blasphemous at that point, right? That's what bothers me, is that, yes, does improvement need to be made? Absolutely. But we act like we were the ones who were in chains.
Yeah.
We act, young black people act like we are the ones who, no, that was our ancestors. Okay. And instead of deciding to live on the backs of what they suffered through and grow from that, we're trying to suffer the same way they did.
Yeah. True.
And so it's almost more us putting ourselves there. Again, going back to living in a hypersensitive society, it's us being hypersensitive to the different things that happen around the nation, rather than, hey, like, yes, we need to grow, we need to improve. The big thing too that I always say to black people, what are we doing as a black community to improve? Like, are we doing anything to change the stereotypes that are out there about us? My answer currently, no. Mm. We aren't, right? Where does change happen? It happens when you look yourself in the mirror and you have to change first before you want anybody else to.
I love that. Well said, Max. We got to take a commercial break. Do you want to ask about the Pineview incident? Was it a tempest in a teapot when we come back?
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. Max Christensen is with me today. And if you haven't figured it out on the radio, Max is a black man. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Black men aren't supposed to be conservative and Republicans and want to vote for Trump. But Max is and does and will. Right?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah. And I've gotten to know Max a little bit in the last year or so. And Max, one of the things I like about you is you're not ashamed of who you are.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I'm a black man. I'm a conservative man. I think some of this woke stuff is garbage. In fact, I think you said one of the BLM. That was what'd you call it?
Trash, man.
Trash,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and not afraid. Now, I want to ask you about this incident that happened last Friday at Pineview High School. Now, Pineview's colors are black and maroon. I've been covering Pineview for 31 years now.
Yeah. So
they tend to favor the black color in their uniforms.
Yeah.
Maroon is more of like a trim. And last Friday they had a spirit night. And the spirit night was blackout night, they called it. And they had their mascot is a Black Panther. Their uniforms are black. And so a couple of the kids in the student section put black makeup on their face. One
yes.
of them kind of half of his face. The other one, pretty much his entire face was covered with black makeup.
Yeah.
Now, both of them were honored for having the most spirit painting up for the occasion. But a couple of black students at Pineview High School took exception. They said, hey, wait, that's a little too close to what we call blackface. What's your reaction about all this? Is this controversy worth pursuing?
In my head, no. I mean, because again, we come from a football background. I don't know. Was the eye black and stuff?
No.
Part of when you were playing, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Under the face.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes
okay.
the Polynesians would have it down. You know, they paint little.
Yeah, and
on their
face. I mean, and there's dudes today. I mean, there's white guys who will cover their almost whole entire face mm-hmm. with that kind, of, and no one says a word because it doesn't mean anything. They're not doing it to be harmful or hurtful or to go at the black community. And I'm sure these high school kids weren't either. I'm sure these high school kids had no idea.
Right.
Right. And so like if you, you know, like there was a you know, I think there was an incident up in Cedar two years ago. Right.
Yeah.
Where like black kids, did blackface, wore prison jumpsuits and stuff. Yeah. And then we're trying to mimic black people.
Right.
OK, so that is very different than especially because the high school color is black.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and so, of course, paint your face black, do that, have that school spirit. That is absolutely totally okay in my head. Right. When I was in high school, my sophomore year of high school, we had two kids, ironically on the football team as well. Some of my teammates, come to school dressed full regalia, head to toe as members of the Ku Klux Klan.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That I took offense to.
I was going to say, that's not cool, man.
All right. That's like, cool. like that I took exception to. This, I don't think is anything worth pursuing or, cause again, you know, young black, cause I've had these conversations with my younger siblings as well. Young black kids today look at social media, are told what they need to be offended by, how they need to be offended, how we got to be a lot sensitive and this. And so they go out and search for oh man, that's really offensive. Oh, that they probably thought that it was this. They thought it was that. It's like I promise that people don't actively look to offend black people as much as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we don't need to be that sensitive about it in that case.
Now the guy, and I'm not going to use his name, but the guy that was a parent of one of the students that took exception to it said, well, the superintendent of schools in Washington County should take this moment as a teaching moment to tell our kids that it's not okay to put black stuff on your face. Do you have a reaction to that statement?
What kind of lesson is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't put black stuff on your face? Like, I mean, are you going to police? Are you going to dress code every football player who runs out on the field on Friday night who has his face covered in black paint? Is that what we're going to start doing?
You can't play because you put stuff on. Forget it.
So it's like, how come that kid can sit in the stands and have black paint all over his face, but the kid on the – and that's not okay, but the kid on the field who looks identical to that, oh, that's totally okay. That's part of football. That's war paint, right? That kid in the stands, he wore paint as well because he's cheering for his team that's wearing an all black uniform, right? Yeah. I don't think it's that big of a deal at all.
All right, real quickly, I want to get your take on Kamala Harris, now the Democratic nominee for President of the United States of America. Some people are trying to make it about gender. Some people are trying to make it about race. What is it to you, Max?
Oh, you're talking about the black lady who's supposed to come and save us all, right? The one who's going to represent all of us. Yeah, what a DEI disaster is truly what it is, right? Right. Yeah. This whole thing on diversity, equity, and inclusion. The one thing I have to say about this is you know, the left side of the aisle, the far left is saying, it's telling all of us, hey, do not look at race and gender.
Yeah.
But yet they are touting a black female.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to talk about contradicting yourself, that's about as high as it goes. So yeah, no, man, and the fact that she, you know, doesn't make any sense what she's saying either, and won't really talk about her policies, or she'll just copy Trump's policies after he says them. It is a dog and pony show over there on the far left side of the aisle. You know, just a mad circus at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I wanted to hear it from you. Yeah, it's actually quite unbelievable, some of what they're doing, like flip-flopping their positions now that they want to get elected and things like that. It's absolutely crazy. Well, I think, you know, one of the messages I'm getting from you, Max, and we only have a minute left, is let's not be so dang sensitive about everything as far as, you know, walking about everyday lives. I mean, we could all pick something to be offended about all the time.
Yes.
And why would we? I mean, that's a terrible way to live, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It puts yourself in a box, in a bubble. So if you want to live in bubble wrap your whole life, go ahead.
They're fun to pop, but I don't want to live in them. Yeah. Again, the Signature Pickle Club is opening. They're going to be aggressive about it. Probably in 4 or 5, 6 weeks.
Yep.
It will be open, and you can play pickleball indoors, air conditioning, with high ceilings, so you can lob it if you need to, out there on Washington Dam Road. And Max and I are both going to be a part of the project and helping to get that thing going. And I'm excited for it. It's going to be fun, man.
Yeah, me too.
It's going to be fun. All right, Max, thanks for coming on today. Absolutely a pleasure having you on the show and spending a few minutes with us on the Andy Griffin Show. And I'm sure we'll have you back. And good luck in your career, marketing
yes,
career.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're going to be on a radio, a competing radio station, so we're not going to mention it right now, but you're going to be on the radio too. So that's pretty cool for you, man.
Yeah, I know. It'll be fun. It'll be good.
Thanks for being on. We'll talk to you later. This is the Andy Griffin Show on KDXU. I'll be in for Open Line Friday tomorrow, 9 a.m., 9:08, I guess. We'll see you then.